Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Yes, tonight we begin an interesting series of conversations with our human condition guru, clinical psychologist Lynn Worsley, on one of the three great Open House benchmarks, the culture part of life, faith and culture. How do cultures develop? What is it about the human condition that we develop cultures around us? What makes a good culture? Is it possible to fix a bad culture? Should be very revealing for all of us. Lynn Worsley, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Great to see you. So where are we going to head, Lynn?
Look, I thought it would be interesting to investigate how cultures and organisations that do well, like how they do it. I also thought it'd be really interesting to see how people make a culture shift in an organisation when they're there.
Tell us what you're talking about when you mean a culture, why we're inclined to establish cultures around us and what makes a successful culture, say in an organisation.
Okay, when we think about culture,
yeah,
we think about values, things that we do over time that we value. It also looks at things that the way that we keep the status quo. So sometimes we have patterns of behaviour in a culture that maintains our behaviour and maintains our relationships, and that happens for many, many years and many, many generations. And so that maintains a culture. And we have particular mores or particular modes of behaviour that other people wouldn't recognise until they come into the culture.
In organisations where I've worked, I've noticed more and more so that the culture trickles down from the top. Often reflects the kind of character, the conduct of the boss.
Yes,
inevitably.
Yes, and it can do that, but it also can trickle from the bottom up as well.
Yeah.
So you can see that sometimes a new manager might come in, but they have real trouble with trying to shift the culture until they actually understand it. So that a culture is sometimes very subtle. And you can't pick it up until you're there.
Oh,
but
yes,
there is another aspect as well, and that's the climate. So you can look at the culture and you can look at a climate. And the climate is a changeable part of a culture.
Okay.
And it's more likely to be affected by people's moods, their expectations, their positivity or their negativity. And that's why it's good to have a climate. You can have good weather and you can have bad weather. You can have hot and you can have cold.
So how would you define a culture neatly as opposed to a climate?
Well,
I think that's a really interesting
concept. You'd have the culture would be where the culture is something that establishes behaviours and the values behind those behaviours, and really people don't know why they do their behaviours, but when you pull it away they see that the value is there.
It's a framework.
Okay. Yes, it's a pattern. But the climate is very much about the hot and colds, the ups and downs within that culture.
Yeah.
And so you can change the climate in a culture, and that's different to changing the culture.
Yep.
But you're likely to see an impact on each other between the climate. The climate can affect the culture, and the culture can affect the climate. And it's interesting that you might actually be attracted to an organisation and the values, but you find the climate within it isn't conducive to living the values for you.
And as you say, you can never really know until you get in it.
That's exactly right. And it also is something for us to be really aware of, is that the climate is easier to change than a culture.
Okay, and I want to get to that.
Yeah.
How do organisations cope with a climate that's not helpful then? So you've got a culture and a climate that's...
Yeah, so say you've got a climate within an organisation that's not helpful, what tends to happen is that people do, like, they might do a SWOT analysis. Now, a SWOT analysis is SWAT, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities and threats. But most often people concentrate on the weaknesses and threats in the SWOT analysis, unfortunately. But there are strengths and opportunities there as well. But what happens then is they actually perpetuate a negative bias within an organisation. And so oftentimes when organisations see a climate that's not helpful, they'll respond in a way that is perhaps a bit more negative to that.
Yeah.
So an example I read about on a management leadership style, a leader noticed that one day he actually was trying to keep his organisation on track. And he said, everyone's got to try and meet together at some point, and I want you to give me your top three challenges. you know, your top three problems that you're dealing with at the moment. And I want you to tell me what you're doing about those and how you're going to fix them up. Now, that seems to be quite a proactive approach.
Yes. Everybody's owning a bit of a game.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, and that seems to be quite a common approach to that. And, you know, people working on their biggest problems and they're trying to find the solutions to their biggest problems so that they're making some progress. Now, this approach towards tackling the biggest problems in business is known as a deficit-based management. And according to Gallup, it's the way most managers approach their work. They identify the biggest challenges and threats. They do an analysis of the root causes. They brainstorm the solutions. And they develop an action plan to address the challenge and implement a solution. But I think one of the reasons that this process is so widespread is it actually does work. And many businesses are quite successful in this, but they are missing something. Because what happens is that they will actually approach the problem, but quite often, even though it makes people feel heard in the process, quite often they missed the massive opportunities that the business can get.
Because they're kind of operating at the negative level.
Yes.
What's wrong? How can we fix it?
They're starting from a place of wrong.
Okay.
And problems.
Is it enough to help a culture shift or a change in the climate of an organisation?
Well, it is enough to help do a shift in some ways, but if you... It isn't really enough to just try and make that shift in the process of a deficit.
Yeah.
So what you're better off to do, it's actually, if you actually concentrate on a negative bias, what tends to happen is that people feel stressed, they feel negatively, you know, they have to react to everything negatively, they don't feel like that they've got any values in the organisation in the process,
yes.
And they don't seem to see the process, an end to the process. They just seem to be always looking for the problems. So focusing only on deficits also creates a missed opportunities in business growth. We might be neglecting to consider ways in which the positive aspects of the business can inform and inspire. So, for example, if you spend all your time on your weaknesses, you're not going to have a lot of time noticing the strengths.
No.
And one of the best things you can do in this in making an organisational shift or a climate change is actually start picking, instead of your three biggest challenges, is to stop and look and see what your three biggest strengths have been.
Does everybody have to do this? Like from the top through middle management to the troops on the ground?
No.
Oh, okay.
And I think this is where we can actually have quite an impact.
Yep.
You can affect change from all areas. And even though when you're a little person in a big company, you might find that you don't have much of a voice, but you can affect change.
How? If you haven't got a voice and if you haven't got people listening to you or heeding you?
There are a lot of things you can do. A lot of things that you can do in terms of maybe just changing the culture and the people around you.
Yeah.
And some of the things that I think are really exciting to be able to see when somebody comes in who has an incredibly positive attitude, that they actually have got a contagion. So what they often do, it doesn't affect them, the negativity doesn't affect them, and they can maybe buy coffees for other people, they might jokes on the toilet door, they might do things that actually
wear
change.
A funny hat. I remember
wear
that
a funny
suggestion.
Hat. Do things that actually and notice other people's positivity. And from the bottom up, it doesn't take much to actually have a quiet mentor, somebody that you're going to mentor and you see that they're not coping at the moment and do something nice for them.
Yes.
Send people messages throughout the day. Send them little positive things on the whiteboard in the tea room. Make sure that other people notice the good things that are happening.
So give us some practical examples of how this might work out, Lynn.
Okay, if you're wanting to make a shift in perhaps a climate,
yep.
And you're wanting to make a shift in perhaps as a manager or in an organisation,
yeah.
One of the things that you can do is actually change how you do your meetings.
Okay.
So if you start a business meeting by, you know, in the past, looking at, you know, giving the minutes and all that sort of stuff, if you actually, before you do that, start with something that's quite productive and motivating, having having something positive to actually get the energy, something that's happened just recently that shows success.
Which is real and not invented.
No, it has pretense. To be real. Yes. That's right. And also finish the meeting with something as well that's very positive, reminding everybody of what it is that everybody's there for. And, of course, making sure that everybody in the meeting has a part to play and is actually able to have a say in what they're doing. But, you know, in those sorts of organisations, when you have a team meeting where everybody has value and there is a positive bias, so we're actually going to be talking about what we've done this week that's worked, and let's analyse that. Let's have a look at why it's worked, and let's see if we can repeat it again. And let's see how we might be able to use what we've learned in what's worked to see if we can do it again.
I think this is a great idea. I'm glad you've come up with this one, because I'm sure no matter where we work or are, there are cultures, and now I learn climates all around us.
Yes.
So thank you so much, and I'll look forward to seeing you next week.
Thanks, Lee.
Thank you so much.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.